Welcome to Goals Question Time, where I interview leading executives driving innovation, venturing, and strategic change.
Do subscribe to our podcasts on iTunes, and please do give us a 5-star like and share with your colleagues. Thank you.
So today for Goals Question Time, I've had the pleasure of being joined by Alison Lowe, MBE, who is the CEO and founder of Felicities. And Alison's got her MBE because of her services to the fashion industry. So today we're going to be talking about fashion industry and new retail. So pleased for you to join us, Alison.
Lovely to join you. Thank you for inviting me on.
Great. So could you kick off with a brief introduction to yourself then first, please?
Yeah, of course. Well, I have probably what they call these days a portfolio career, in the fact that though I have been working in the fashion industry now for 15 years, actually before that, I have a very diverse career base. I think what I'd probably class myself is as a serial entrepreneur, in the fact that I have established and run 7 different businesses, starting my first one at 17. They have included anything and everything from running a bookshop to having a recruitment agency to setting up an international logistics company before I opened up my current two fashion agencies. So I have a really broad spectrum of actually working across a lot of different areas. But I suppose the point of that is that for me, it's about being entrepreneurial. It's about spotting a gap in the market, looking at how you can do things better and differently, and seeing if there is a solution to doing that. And that's how I came into the fashion industry, in the fact that I was asked to partner with a London Fashion Week platform at that time that was a really large platform running 8 catwalk shows a day and a designer exhibition. And they were looking at me giving them some consultancy advice on marketing and PR initially. And I went along to my first fashion week, very excited first day. Thought it was amazing, and I loved the whole glamour and the excitement of it all. Went back day two, and I think the entrepreneur in me started to kick in and think, what's going on here? And started to talk to a lot of particularly younger starting up fashion labels, some of those who are very well established today. And just realized what a lack of support they had, that there was a big gap in the education system of fashion designers, in that they had absolutely no business focus. There was a lot of focus on the glamour and the excitement and taking part in Fashion Week, and a lot of people telling me that, you know, well, that's the way the fashion industry works, and just saying, well, it's an industry, and at the end of the day, any industry is about business. And so I spotted the gap and decided to open up my first agency, which was Felicities.
Great. So could you tell us a bit about the business and the areas you work in now? Because I think we'll come back to those insights you've seen on the industry and that in a moment, because I've certainly seen that as well. So give us a bit of an introduction to the businesses that you now run and what they specifically do.
Okay. So I think I'm still entrepreneurial in many ways, in the fact that I still carry loads of different hats. So Felicities was the first agency that I set up, and that's been running for 15 years now. And in that time, we have worked with over 2,000 startup fashion brands. And though we initially set up looking more at the marketing and promotion side of it, we very quickly, probably within the first 6 months, realized that we had to open up the level of service that we gave so that we could help businesses with every angle of their business. So we work with startup fashion brands looking at everything about how they're designing, the range plans they're creating, how do they manufacture, how do they sell, how do they promote it, and how do they actually build a sustainable business. Because though initially many of them may present with saying that they want PR help, they're not actually ready for that. They're not ready to go out and tell people about their brand. They shouldn't be out there talking to buyers, et cetera, yet, because they just don't have the right tools to be able to do that. And the one thing that I find still shocking today that happens in the fashion industry that doesn't help in other industries is the industry is actually very harsh in many ways, that it gives people one chance. And you either get it right on that one chance, otherwise they just won't bother talking to you again. The industry is not very open for people learning. So it's really important that the brands wait and make sure they do have everything in place, and then they go out and talk. So Felicities has run for 15 years doing that. We get far more inquiries than we can ever deal with. I probably get about 20 brands a month, every month, come to us. We've never had to go out and look for brands in 15 years. But unfortunately, we only work with between 15 and 20 brands at any one time, because what we do is so intensive with them, and it's such a personal one-to-one, because we look at their whole business structure and their finance and everything. We've always been really limited with the number of brands that we could work with and help. Yeah. So over the last couple of years, we realized, and because I go out and I give lots of talks around the world to different fashion designers setting up in everywhere from Shanghai to Morocco, I've just come back from, to Moscow, that actually a lot of the questions that they ask are the same. So we've decided to set up a second business, a sister business to Felicities, which is startyourownfashionlabel.com. And that's actually just a platform of resources that designers can go on and answer a question as and when they need it. How do I create a line sheet? How do I talk to a buyer? What's the email that I send to a journalist? How do I use Instagram? So that they don't have to go on a course. They can just literally download the information in a really easy to use guide and do it straight away.
Yeah, and the other good, side good basics on that for the industry and general business skills, I guess.
It is, as I said, it's so surprising that they are such basic elements, but somehow in their often education system of learning to be a fashion designer, some of those basic tools, whether they are missed sometimes in the education, but other times the students don't take any notice when they're at university or fashion school because it doesn't seem relevant to them at the time. They just want to be a designer. So they miss that learning. So it's only when they actually start running the business that they need to come back and learn those bits. So we just wanted to make that in a really easy format. And the other side of that is we do offer mentoring for other brands. They can just hop on a mentoring call and get some quick answers on something that's troubling them. Or they can join our membership, which means that they get to talk to other designers and share ideas and share good practice and perhaps find out that they're not alone in some of the problems that they've got. Because we find, again, that designers are quite scared of talking to each other. And it often isn't encouraged in the industry. So we wanted to give them a forum that they could actually just talk to each other. So alongside that, as if that didn't keep me busy enough, I also act as a consultant to retailers, both mass market and high end, particularly around consumer and marketing and the changing of retail. So one-off consultancies in that area. I'm an ambassador for Be Inspired, which is encouraging retailers, women retailers, to actually be entrepreneurial and do things differently. So that's actually run by Retail Week, our big publication in this country. And then I go around and I deliver lots of training courses to lots of universities. And I work particularly with University of the Arts a lot and London College of Fashion, again, looking at entrepreneurial skills. Telling designers, fine, go and learn to be a designer, but you also need to learn to be an entrepreneur. So I do that as well. So many hats, lots of different things. I'm also a judge at the Great British Entrepreneur Awards, which is, again, I tend to look at more of the creative businesses because they have lots of people looking at entrepreneurship from finance and manufacturing, but often fashion and the creative industries are missed out on that. So I'm passionate, I think, about entrepreneurship and teaching people how to use entrepreneurial skills.
Yeah, no, and we first met at the Loan Design Club, which, declaring my interest, I'm a director and that of. And, you know, your passion about speaking about fashion and retail there, as you've just highlighted, really, you know, brought that to life. And the reason why I'm involved with Loan Design Club, very much like you said at the start, that the business model now in fashion and retailing really doesn't reward the creative designers and isn't meeting the desires of what customers are wanting in that these days. So could you give us some views on how you see retail and fashion is changing and the sorts of things that Loan Design Club and designers are now doing?
Yes, brilliantly. So I think the first thing is consumers have changed, and everything has changed because we all have mobile phones. And that has changed the world and everything we do. We all go around attached to our phones. And that's how people shop and do their research now. And fashion has been very, very slow at adopting to those changes and is still being incredibly slow at adopting to those changes. So for me, what the retailers are missing out on is everybody focused on online. And I remember 5-6 years ago, everybody talking about, maybe we won't need shops in the future. It will all just be online. Mm-hmm. But I think with fashion, there is still an element of people wanting to go and try things on and touch things and have a beautiful experience of, having me time in some ways of, trying something on in a store, enjoying that experience. So I think many of the retailers in fashion had just focused on online. We've got to go online. We've got to have influencers talking on our Instagram and on Snapchat. And they just dismissed their brick and mortar as just a place to dump product. And if you go into many high street stores, that is exactly what they've done. They have dumped product in it, lots of it, lots of different types. No point of difference from anybody else's. There's just lots of it. And what they didn't realize is the customer was changing in the way that they were shopping and what they wanted from online and brick and mortar, so the actual physical stores. So for me, what's changed is if a customer wants product, if I want a new pair of jeans or a pair of black trousers or a shirt, I can go online and buy that. It's much easier. I can have a range of options sent to me, try them on, ship them back. I can look to see the best deal I can get and what options are available. But if I'm going to go to a store, I want to do something different. And, I want to have an experience. I want to be inspired. We used to have this lovely phrase that people called window shopping. And we seem to have forgotten that customers actually like to do that. They like to window shop. They like to look. They like to be inspired. They like to have some aspiration to own something. And basically, a lot of our brick and mortar retailers now could become the shop windows, that really big shop window that creates a beautiful experience that somebody wants. And then if they come into a store and they have a really great experience, they will want to buy product and they may buy it there and then that day. Or if not, they'll go onto that company's website because they feel a loyalty to that company because they've had a nice experience. I talk about it a lot as the exit through the gift shop strategy. Museums for years have always, they create a beautiful exhibition, try to make it as experiential as possible by the lighting, the colour, the sound, the music they play. And when you go into an exhibition, you don't go into the gift shop first. You go through the exhibition and you exit through it. And if you watch anybody in any major exhibition, as they exit through the gift shop, they will buy the postcard, the T-shirt, the book, whatever it is.
Excellent example.
They have a good experience. Retailers need to do that. If you could bring people into your store and they have a nice experience and it's a place that they can feel involved with, feel a connection with the brand, then their exit through the gift shop strategy will be that they will buy the product because they're inspired by it. There's an aspiration. But if it's just product, it's pointless. Yep. So if you go into many of the retailers on the high street today, that's why they're not working. Because every store you go into has just got, packed rails full of product that is pretty much the same as everybody else's. There's no point of difference in a lot of the stores. All we're doing is shopping by price. And that's
the other
what
thing
works
we're seeing.
In strategy.
And the other thing we're seeing as well is the pushback now against the fast fashion, which is that point about just piling up the product, having it only there for a short time and expecting customers to buy larger quantities more frequently and only one use. And that experience part can push back against that fast fashion and wasteful sort of supply chain and wasteful product sort of side of things. Are you seeing that trend as well coming, as being supported?
Yes, definitely. I mean, again, I think it's part of the experience. I think people think, if I'm going to aspire to something, then I want to keep it. I might want to be the first to have it. I want to maybe revisit it. But also want to know why I'm buying from that brand. I'm not just buying product. You know, it is the lifestyle of the brand that's really important as well. And that's why I'm, you know, a big supporter of Lone Design Club too, in the fact that I have recommended, you know, many designers to take part in it. Because to me, for a young designer, that's a chance for them to go and tell people that I'm not just selling products.
Mm.
I'm inviting you into the world of my brand. I want you to come along and meet me. I want you to see what I do. I want you to look at my product, and I want you to love my product and buy it and treasure it for years. So moving that slow fashion model into it. So Lone Design Club has been really good, and I think one of the first in doing that of, you know, bringing in, having lots of events and experiences around the fact that you have a pop-up shop.
It is inspiring speaking to these great designers, and they also engage and get fantastic feedback from the customers as well when they touch it and feel it and see it. And get their perspective back from the customers about how they're going to use the product and wear it and sort of stuff like that. That interaction and experience is so good for building that depth of relationship with a brand and then the product.
Yeah, it's so valuable. And the thing for the young designers is, when I'm advising designers, is thinking these days, don't just design product, design your brand. And it has to be a brand, and you have to offer an experience, and you're going to have a story that you could then go into somewhere like Lone Design Club and talk to customers and invite them into your world. But if you are just designing products, they're going to fail in the Lone Design Club because they're just putting things on a rack and hoping it's going to sell on its own.
Yeah.
As a startup brand, you can't do that anymore. I talk to brands about, you know, your product is a tiny element of it in many ways. It is your branding, your aesthetic, how's your visual merchandising display going to look like? How are you going to interact with the customer? What are you going to offer them to build in brand loyalty? The product is such a tiny part of that, and the product only works if you've got those other bits. So I think Lone Design Club is such a great experience for designers as well, because I know with some of the brands that I've tried, you know, that I've worked with, and they have tried it, and actually it is the experience of trying it and going, oh, you know, like, wow, I do have to do something here. I can't just put my product on a rail and let it speak for itself, because that's actually not what the customer's looking for anymore. Or if they are, they've already got that online. So it's such a good experience for them.
So what do you see as the biggest sort of challenges and opportunities then facing designers as they look to launch their brands, make money, and grow in an ethical and sustainable way? What do you see as the big challenges and opportunities?
I think, first of all, is this the breaking of the fashion cycle of tradition, thinking of doing it in the traditional way. And I think we have a challenge at the moment because I think many educational facilities are still teaching designers to think about creating a brand that is just, you know, whatever they want, not thinking about the customer, and then looking at selling it and promoting it in an old school way, trying to do wholesale, trying to get through magazines. That method, that model has died, particularly for young designers. If you didn't get in 5 years ago wholesaling, don't bother now. Move into a new direction, which is looking at everything being direct to consumer. How can you get in front of customers to sell them? How can you talk to the consumer direct? You know, our magazines are disappearing fast. And obviously they are featuring predominantly their retailers. But also, a startup brand doesn't need that anymore. They can talk to their customer direct. They've got Instagram, Snapchat, Pinterest, whatever it is that they've decided is the right platform for their customer, then they can talk direct to them. So I think the biggest challenge is getting people to, first of all, break that idea that the only way I'm a successful business is if I take part in a fashion week and I go and do a big trade show and I sell through or I talk to magazines. That model's broken.
Yeah.
They have to look at doing it themselves, which means that not everybody's suitable to start a fashion brand anymore, because you do have to be the person that will go out and actually talk to the customer direct yourself. What was able for designers in the past was they could almost hide behind their brand. They just created product, and a sales agent would sell it at a trade show, and a magazine would feature it, and they didn't have to do the work. So I think for now, the biggest challenge for designers is knowing that they have to do that. Design is going to be a small part of your day-to-day task, and the rest of it is you looking at talking to your consumer in all the different ways that you're going to do it. So I think that's a challenge, because it is about them being entrepreneurial now, not about them being just a designer.
Yeah, and I think your point there, Alison, was, you know, it's spot on for the fashion sector, but certainly what I see within other industries and other organizations I work with now around things like craft foods, around sort of personal services in travel and sort of stuff like that, that we're seeing the rise and the opportunity for more independent brands, more independent creators in lots of different sectors. And that access to the end customer directly because of the online media now gives us opportunities to do those types of things. And, you know, I'm seeing that in a number of other areas. And I'm in a business, for example, which is helping musicians to create their own music, collaborate online together, and then to launch their things online. And that's a deeper relationship as well than just doing the bit of posting a YouTube video or posting something onto Apple Music. There are, these technologies now are providing different business models for designers and creators to access customers directly.
It's a different world, and people have to look at it differently. I've just always found, and I think it's why I've stayed in the fashion industry for 15 years, is it has been very slow to move and adapt to new challenges. And it has always been, I mean, I still have people tell me now, obviously that's not the way the fashion industry works. Stop cutting your lawn to the old ways of doing things. It is how the fashion industry works. If that's how you want it to work, you know, we have the option to do things differently now.
Great. Alison, there's been great insights across the whole stuff and that you've done. What do you manage to do to relax when you're not doing all of this big portfolio of things you're doing?
It doesn't happen. I don't have that much time, and particularly not at the moment, because I've been commissioned to write the book on starting their fashion label. So unfortunately, I have a few minutes, it seems to be taken into doing that at the moment. But I'm very lucky that I decided a couple of years ago just to move outside of London. And I live looking out at the sea, and my off time is walking along the beach. There is nothing better than, I open my shutters every morning and look out and see, you know, sunrise, I can see sunset, and a lovely long bracing walk across the beach. Just puts the rest of the world into perspective.
Lovely. Lovely, Alison. Thanks so much for your time and sharing the insights on that with us. And I look forward to seeing you in one of the pop-up shops or one of the events.
Yeah, definitely. I hope to see you soon. Thank you for inviting me.